just never forget, you know. I want to thank y'all for praying for me. If you weren't here last night, I'm going to tell you a little something before you're seated. Over a week ago, out of the clear blue, just walking around doing whatever I do, and suddenly dizziness came on me to the point to where I was leaning forward and to the left. It was real strange because this part of my finger's numb. This part of my finger's almost numb. This part of this hand is tingling. I was so dizzy that I couldn't hardly stand up. My wife was concerned, and so I finally went into the VA. They put me through all these tests and was simply, I don't know what's going on. Went through that vertigo test and all that, didn't have that, but I couldn't close my eyes. I failed every one of the tests they gave me about leaning forward, touch somebody's hands, stand on one leg, all that mess. Failed everything. And I went in there because I thought, well, maybe, you know, maybe they put me on a something. Them COVID people put me on stuff that was horrible. Maybe residuals, whatever. So my wife was very concerned about me driving, because I couldn't even hardly put gasoline in my truck. I have to stand there and hold on to the truck. I felt very strange when I pulled up to the hotel after fighting it for a week. And my wife even asked, are you going to just call him? You can't drive like this. I said, no, I'm going to drive. And she's not coming with me, so that made her real scared. But when I got out of the hotel, all of a sudden I stepped on the ground and it went away. And I began to think, uh-oh, what's that? How can I walk? I drive all those hours, even when I was filling up with gas, coming up here, I was holding on to stuff. I know those people thought I was drunk when I walked in. Walked in to get my, I'm on a specific diet now, control my weight. Now I'm down to Fritos and a burnt butternut. And sometimes, especially around, if my wife's not with me, I'll get a Butterfinger and M&M's. And, you know, you can eat them anyway. But it stopped. And I thought, well, thank the Lord. Wonder what that was. And then last night I made a turn to come to the pulpit, and my knee, I thought my kneecap fell off. I'm telling y'all, that's how bad of a pain went through my body. I literally thought, and I've seen people that in church that their kneecaps fell off. I saw it healed in San Antonio, just fell off to the side. And so last night, talking to my wife, she said, did you take, I've had a brace in my suitcase for a long time, because one time in a revival where the demons were trying to split a church, it hit my right knee, and I literally preached with a big, huge brace on my knee. I told the pastor, well, I know this is spiritual. And so I carried that thing for years, a couple of years. I took it out last week. So I don't know if you, I'm thinking I'm dizzy for a week, and that's supposed to keep me from driving. Normal people would not drive being dizzy. I understand that. That puts me in a little different category. I drove drunk. That's what I'm thinking. Sherry said, you can't drive like that. I said, I did this for 20 years. I've driven places and wake up the next day like, where am I? I woke up one time in Las Vegas. I was like, I got on an airplane, flew up here. That used to be, you know, go cash. You just go pay at the front desk. You know, TSA, there wasn't no such thing, you know. And I just come up, woke up in Las Vegas hotel. I was like, how'd I get up here? And somebody asked me, you want to go to Las Vegas? And I said, sure. I mean, it's only 12 o'clock at night. They're open. Let's go. So that wasn't a problem. she told me, she said, Gordon, I knew when you was going up there, you were so focused before you got there. I was getting up at 3 and 4 in the morning. Some of you may have seen it on Facebook. I knew the devil was going to do something. And so I want everybody here to know I am not quitting this revival just because my knee hurts. I'm not going to do that. Not going to do that. And so I may be wearing a brace. It's inflamed this morning. I stayed up a lot last night with hot water. That's what I read on the internet. Blankets, towels around my knee. And I started laughing. And I thought, I'm not a punk. I don't know if that's a good word or bad word in church, but and so this old boy right here, if I have to hobble up here, God's still going to heal the sick and still going to open the blinded eyes. He's going to do all that. Amen. Can you say amen? You can be seated. Thank you for standing. I just wanted to clear the air. That way any spirits can hear what that didn't work. And I mean, if my knee wants to do this, then God knows when he wants to heal it. And right now I'm standing, and that's all that counts. Amen. Hey, I want to talk to you this morning. I'm glad you moved all the young people up. I didn't ask him to do that. I don't do all that. But after last night's service, you missed it. And I don't know if you do the CDs or whatever, but you don't need to miss. Don't be a Sunday Christian. Because if the Lord comes on Saturday, you ain't going to make it. It'd be like, well, I was there every Sunday, and the Lord was going, well, we've had church on Saturday too. So my faithful come out when they're asked. Ooh, that hit hard. Man, but it's true. When we used to go into revivals for 5 nights a week, 16 weeks, I never missed a service and was mad when the revival was over. I literally went to the preacher and said, what do you mean we're only going to go to church Sunday and Wednesday? I don't know if I can even keep the Holy Ghost during that. I mean, I've been dealing drugs all these years, and I was getting high on the Holy Ghost. Now you done got me addicted to doing all this, and then you're going to tell me now you're going to cut me down to 2 times a week? That's what I told him. He started laughing. He said, but I'm pretty sure you're going to hang on. I guess most of us in this building like to take vacations. I've had 3 or 4 since I've been married, and my wife likes to take them. Let me say it like that. I like to take them, but I just don't seem to have the time. And let me tell you something funny. She makes me 3 times go on vacations. She picks it out. She does all that. And when we get to this one particular vacation, my whole family was going to go. That's what got me. Everybody's going but you. Why aren't you going? Look what that looks like. Oh, okay, I'll go. Ain't my mother. My mother called me up. I'm going, son, so you're going. I mean, what are you going to tell your mama? No, I'm not. Then she's going to say, okay, I'm going to slap you like I did when I was 7. My mother used to just slap us. Amen? The Child Protective Services was, go to the bathroom after I whip you. There's protection. As long as you're on the potty, you're protected. But when you get off, we'll start again. Mother, I have to go to the restroom. Well, I'll take a break. And we were so scared of Mother that when she had just raised her hand to fix her hair, all the boys would duck. It'd just be, okay. But what was so funny about this vacation is that it was advertised to be a beautiful place with a boat ramp. My brother's going to bring his boat. And when we get there, the place was a trailer that was unlevel. And the water in the lake had dropped 14 feet. So the boat ramp was way up here. And the mud was way down here. I got a picture of my wife trying to get out to the water, got stuck in the mud. I let her and Leslie just waller in the mud a while. I told them, I said, y'all wait till y'all see this video. Two big old women just wallering in the mud. That video was somehow deleted. Probably Hillary, I don't know. But I had fun. I got it was so shallow that you could walk from one side of where we were. I walked all the way across, it was a pretty far distance, to the other bank. I walked it. It got about this high. I didn't even think about all the alligators in that lake, which we were on the side of the lake that had a lot of marsh and lily pads. Later, we saw things floating. We got binoculars. But I finally decided I'm fixing to make something out of this vacation. So I got an inner tube and a Mountain Dew and an umbrella, and my fishing rod, some lures, stepped off into that inner tube and told them all, I'm fixing to catch supper. I am not a catch and release guy. Like I said last night, if I catch it, it's going to die. Just should not have bit what I had out there. I don't care. If I catch a muskrat, we're going to eat muskrat. I don't care. I think it tastes like chicken. And I was out there in this heated, blazing sun in an inner tube with a Mountain Dew, and they're taking pictures. And I cast my rod out, my lure. And this was really for fun, just tell people I did it. And suddenly I got a big old bite. Now I've got an umbrella under this arm. I got a Mountain Dew between my legs. I got a rod and reel in this arm. And I get a stinking fish. Hits that thing. Are you serious? And something's got to happen. And so I'm trying to keep the umbrella under my arm because I don't want to come out like a red man. I mean, this is blazing sun that'll make a white man an Indian. This is how hot it would be. And it wouldn't take long. You could hear the water almost bubbling. You know, it'd be like, do you need hot water? Go down the lake and get some. And now this fish is so big that it's making me go. It's taking me, and I'm trying to reel it in, and all I hear in my rod is the brake can't even hold, and I'm trying to pull the brake on like, what in the world? Uh-oh. And I see the lily pads getting closer, and I know what's in the lily pads because we've already looked at the binoculars. And when you see a big nose, it's got two holes and a couple of eyes, that's not a human being down there. That is a alligator. And when we saw it many times swimming back and forth, now I am sliding that way across the top of the water, and I can't hold everything. And I'm not going to drop that Mountain Dew. And so the umbrella, because I got to have two hands, and the umbrella falls away. And I start trying to, and now my brother's hollering, where you going? And I'm screaming, shut up, something's got on the end of the line. It's bigger than the inner tube. And folks, I got so close to the lily pads, I bit the fishing line in two. I just bit it. I didn't have any way to stop the whatever's on the end. So I just rolled out some and started, I got to get rid of this thing. And let it dry. I don't care. It went home with a hook in his mouth. And what was so funny is that that thing had taken me so far down that lake, I didn't have a paddle. So now I'm doing this, trying to get home. Realize that ain't working, so I wind up doing this. So when I got home on a vacation, I was red in both joints in my shoulder. Couldn't even raise it. It was so hot. Both shoulders were so sore from just, I got to get home. There's something here bigger than me, and I got part of me hanging in the water. I don't know how juicy that looks to everything. And I know this, I can't get it any higher in any tube. I just can't do it. So, is that all right, Pastor? I mean, I didn't say anything bad. But it was serious. I was trying to float, level out, couldn't do it. And I wasn't about to roll off of it and swim because I was too close to the lily pads. And that was my vacation. When I finally got to the mud, I was thanking God for mud. And I rolled out in the mud, and my brother said, man, you should see all the pictures we've got. You should have seen the look on your face when that, whatever that was, got on the end of that rod, and you started screaming, oh God, Jesus help me, send an angel. I was like, man, I was praying for everything. So that was a vacation. It's kind of fun to load up and go somewhere peaceful and someplace we've never been, never seen, only heard about. And most of the time we have gathered some information about that place. My wife spent time gathering information, brochures and maps. And maybe we even know somebody that's went there before. And they've told us and come back with tales that excite us. And they make us want to go. We'll set up what we call reservations. And they want to know how many's traveling. How long we're going to be staying. And we pull up at a location. We stand in the check-in line and show them proof of our name. And it really feels good to know that even before we got there, there was a room prepared for our arrival. Clean towels, clean sheets, air conditioner, counters clean, that coffee pot just ready to go. It's called reservations. The reservation was there before we arrived. When I got out of the truck and I walked to the desk, there was a reservation for Gordon Poe. It was reserved for me. Man, that felt good. I said, Gordon Poe. She said, we have a room for you. In other words, before I got here, let me repeat, before I got here, that room was sitting there waiting on me to get there. And it was so, until I walked in, and now the reservation has become complete. Now it's occupation. So there's a reservation before the occupation. I do agree that it sounds good when the check-in desk smiles and says, your room's ready. Let us know if you need anything. We're in a new place, reserved room, all that goes with it. We walk down the hall and we start looking for our room, and there's a lot of rooms, so we start looking for our rooms. I'm towards the end, and I walk down and I'm kind of looking on left side. One side's even numbers, one side's odd numbers, and we look for our room number, because that room number, that means my key should work. And so when I get to that door, having looked at all the wrong numbers in the wrong rooms, I got a key to that room. Key works, and let's go explore what's in the room. I want to preach about this morning a place I don't want to ever visit. I don't want to ever visit hell. If one goes there, there's going to be an eternity of suffering that faces that individual. But for a moment, in our imagination, I would like to take us to that journey and walk today the halls of hell. The halls of hell. A place that's very populated. Our guide today will be the angel of God. So imagine with me. Bring focus. Don't let anything today disturb your focus. As we enter into the halls, we're going to hear groaning like we've never heard before. We're going to hear cries that send chills racing down our spine. Those are the helpless souls who pass God by in the world. Remember this, not one of them had to come here. No man or woman is forced to go to hell. You do it with your own choice. I want you to listen. Listen to the sounds of eternity. Listen to the screams. If you can't visualize this in your mind yet, get there with me. Can you hear them screaming? You can't hear their horrifying sounds? Then you're not close enough yet. Step closer with me until you're able to hear and see them. Let's take a tour of the rooms in hell. Notice the halls of hell are lined with rooms on each side. Come on now, let's step down into the hall to that first scream you hear. And that first scream you hear is, "Am I my brother's keeper?" As we go down in the hall, we hear a man screaming, "Am I my brother's keeper? Am I my brother's keeper?" We turn and ask our guide, "Who is that screaming?" And his answer is Cain, the man that slew his brother. The man that killed. Then we remember Genesis 4, Adam and Eve, two sons, taught to worship, taught to bring offerings to God. And a day came when both of them were at an altar, and Abel brought the lamb, and Cain brought the fruit, and God rejected Cain's offering, and Cain in his anger killed his brother, and he buried Abel, and God watched, and later asked Cain, "Where is thy brother?" And Cain's reply was simply, "Am I my brother's keeper?" God cursed him. What a horrible sight now. Cain burning forever, screaming what sent him there. Am I my brother's keeper? The angel opens up the next door and a scream pierces our ear. "Let us in. Let us in. Please. Please let us in." Who are these people that are pounding on each other and they're screaming the same words over and over and over, and they're clawing each other like animals? And the angel replies, "These are the ones that rejected the message for 120 years. They drowned in the flood, but now forever in torment. And our eyes are glued to this scene of the population of the world screaming, 'Let us in. Let us in! Please,
Let my baby in. Let my child at least escape this curse. And God said no. And then our eyes being glued to the scene, we remember it from Sunday school. It was taught to us in Sunday school. And the angel opens a third door, and there we see a woman that's weeping and painting her face. And what a horrible sight. She's completely ripped to pieces. And as the hinges on the door make a small squeaking sound, she turns her head and eye in our direction, and we see a shell with no eyes. Her name is Jezebel. She was a harlot. She served Baal, a king's daughter, a woman that painted herself to attract the attention of men from her windowsill, and she destroyed a prophet of God, and she chased Elisha, but her end was she was thrown from her window, and dogs ate her. Her screams were drowned out by the growl of a pack of blood-crazed dogs. All that was left was skull, feet, and the palms of her hands. Listen to that. You better listen. All that was left. And we stand staring at her in this horrible condition. And the angel turns and begins to open. Are you with me right now in this place? You better visualize this. In the fourth door, we find two people screaming now. And it's so hard to understand them. Their arms are waving wildly in the air, and they're beating on each other in a fury, and they're screaming things about the Holy Ghost. Angel, who are these people? And he points to the name above the door. And the name above the door is Ananias and Sapphira. And they're screaming, it was your idea. No, it was your idea. No, you kept back the money because you wanted to spend it. No, you're the one that lied to the Holy Ghost, not me. I was just standing there. No, I just followed your advice. Yet they both lied, and they're both in torment. And now your mind is saying, Angel, I just can't take it anymore. I don't like this. And the angel says, no, but you must finish your journey. And he turns the knob on the next door, and there is a man standing crying, saying, I betrayed innocent blood. He looks so different. It's that scar around his neck. It's those eyes that seem ready to pop out of his head. That's not Judas, is it? As he turns to face us, we see that it was the man that was chosen to be a disciple. His neck is broken, and his guts were hanging. His body is broken in many pieces from the impact of his body hitting the ground. And he stands there and screams, I should have been in the upper room. I was chosen to be there. I should have been there. I should have been in the upper room. And you remember now that the last people said it was your idea. And then you remember the lady that was screaming, that was eaten by dogs. And then you remember the voices saying, let us in, let us in, let us in. And then you remember, am I my brother's keeper? Now, these are all different kinds of people. As the angel closes the door, I can hear you say, no more, angel, no, no more. I've had enough. I can't. This is not where I want to be. And his reply is, we only have one more room to see, and then your journey's over.
And the guide says, let's go look down there. And as you walk down the hall, you turn and you look back, gasping at the horror in your own mind. And it's only then that you see that each door had a name on it. The door you saw first was named Cain, but his screams, you never even looked up. You were just, what are we doing? And then the second door, it said the flood victims, but there were so many in there. You couldn't pay attention to the door. You were looking at hundreds of thousands of people and kids. And then the next door said Jezebel, but that skull with no eyes and palms sitting there. And then the other one said Ananias and Sapphira, but you didn't notice that. It was your idea. And then you look back and that said Judas, and the angel of God puts his hand on the door handle of this last room, and as the door opens, you strain your eyes trying to see in the room, and your ears are braced to hear this gnashing of teeth that you've heard all day, and your brain is ready to accept some gruesome sight of a pitiful person, yet the room is strangely silent, and nothing is coming from this room. And a quick look around shows you that this room is empty. Questions begin to enter your mind, and you step back into the hall where the angel is. And your mouth opens to ask the angel a question, but as you turn, his finger is pointed as though he already knows the answer, and your eyes dart in the direction his finger is pointing, and you realize the nameplate is dark. The nameplate is dark. And as you stare at this nameplate, a demon's claw appears out of nowhere and taps the wall, and the plate dimly lights up. And through the darkness, you strain your eyes and you read the word vacant. But you hear a whisper, one you could not quite understand. What was that you said, angel? What did you say? Could you? And as you turn around to ask, it's only then you realize the angel has begun to draw away from you. And it appears the angel is leaving you alone. It's fading from your vision. And as you spin in your tracks to look back at the room that only moments ago said vacant, now you come face to face with a satanic devil, a satanic being, reaching with one open hand towards you and the other pointing to the nameplate. And down the halls of hell drift these words: unless you change, this room is reserved for you. And Satan stands and says, welcome to my kingdom. Welcome to eternity. Grinning from ear to ear, welcome. I've reserved this room for you. There's only one way that you cannot keep your reservation, is to cancel it. It's to say, I know I have a room reserved, but cancel it. I'm not coming. Cancel it. I'm not going to be there. Is there anybody under the sound of my voice that needs to cancel a reservation otherwise kept for you? If you need to come to this altar today to pray, not to nod down, lay down your head, and I'm talking about somebody that knows that if the horn blows, if the trumpet sounds today, that your reservation will be kept. Somebody that's sitting under the sound of my voice that knows without a shadow of a doubt, hey,
I better make sure everything in my life is clean, everything in my life is pure, and if not, I don't know what I'm going to do if the horn sounds today, because if the trumpet sounds, there's a great possibility that that reservation is going to have my name on it, and I've got to cancel my reservation, and the only way I can cancel my reservation is get to the altar. Somebody needs to step up, stand up, and get to this altar right now, because if you were to have a heart attack, just like my knee went out last night, if you have a heart attack, oh, you better start praying, because see, you play and say, well, I'm all right. Well, let me ask you again. Do you hear, pray everybody, do you hear something in your voice saying, in your spirit saying, you better get to that altar. I've got a reservation for you. You better get to that altar. There's a reservation for you. I'm the only one that can cancel the reservation. You can say, devil, I ain't coming, but only Jesus can stop it. Church, you better pray right now. I want everybody praying right now. This is real. What I preached is real. What I preached is real. Eternity can happen in a split moment. You can be there in 1 second. You could be there in 1 breath. You could leave this planet in 1 second. You could be over there praying and die. Are you understanding how real this is? This is the kingdom of darkness that is prepared a room for you. All it says now is vacant, but it's waiting on you to walk down the hall and tap that hall and say, well, it's not vacant any longer. It's got this man's name on it. It's not vacant any longer. It's got this lady's name on it. It's not vacant any longer. It's got this young person's name on it. You're going to say, devil, please give me one more chance, Jesus. And Jesus is going to say right then, depart from me, I never knew you. A reservation. Cancel my reservation. Jesus, cancel my reservation. Help me. You better pray. We're not playing. You better pray. These reservations have been there since hell was created. There's been a reservation for Cain. There was a reservation for Ananias and Sapphira. There was a reservation for all those people and babies and children that were destroyed. Those teenagers that were trying to climb the walls of the ark. There's a reservation for them, and they accepted it. They made it. There's a reservation for Ananias and Sapphira. Yes, it was vacant for a while, but all of a sudden, Ananias and Sapphira, they decided. That room was vacant, and they decided to go against the Holy Ghost. I'm asking some of you young people that are in this altar, are you really prayed up? Are you really prayed in? Are you really, ma'am? Are you really, young man? Are you really? Don't get a spirit of Ananias and Sapphira that holds back. I'm praying. I got to pray every day. Ananias and Sapphira kept the reservation. Judas was there. He saw the miracles. He saw the healings. Yet with a broken neck, he burst his vows in the field of blood. Oh, he should have been in the upper room. We should have a better account of Judas. In fact, we should have some biblical records where Judas raised the dead. But instead, he's living in a reserved room with a name called Judas upon the very top. No. Jezebel's not in that room. Ananias and Sapphira's not in that room. Come on, somebody. You better look at yourself. If it's a vacant room for you, you got to tell the devil, I'm not coming. I'm not coming. I'll pray and get a renewing of the Holy Ghost. I know I messed up, but God is still living. God is still letting me live. Jesus is still letting me breathe. Somebody pray. Come clean this morning. Come clean this morning. Not, it's not for me. That's not for me. There was a reserved room for Gordon Poe. And I made up my mind one day. I might have messed up, but that room ain't going to be filled. That's going to be a canceled reservation. That's going to be a canceled reservation. Have you ever messed up, Brother Poe? Yes, I have. Yes, I have. And the devil had his old hand ready. He was about to name that room again, Gordon Poe. It was vacant. He thought I would mess up and stay messed up. But no, I didn't. I fooled him. And I stood up and got renewed in the Holy Ghost. Somebody pray till the Spirit of the living God comes upon you and cleanses you and renews you. I'm not going there. If you want to scream, I'm not going there, then scream it out with me. I'm not going there. Tell the devil this morning, I'm not going there. Whatever it takes, I'm not going there.